Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
Slug Magazine's Brew Stillery is a local beer and spirits festival, and it's been celebrating Utah's brewers and distillers since 2018. This all-ages event has something for everyone to enjoy, offering tastings of local beer and spirits, and also featuring local food trucks, artisans, and music. Don't miss Slug Mag's Brew Stillery 2024 on Saturday, June 15th at Art Space City Center from 2 to 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now through 24tix.com.
Shh! Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
Boyfriend Sushi Town is a four-piece garage rock band from Salt Lake City. With two full-length albums under their belt, the band's unique sound is instantly recognizable because of its surprising blend of classical violin with gritty post-rock riffs and melodies. I wrote an article for Slug in January of 2022, and I made two predictions. One, that Boyfriend Sushi Town's debut album, Rufus, would achieve cult status among its listeners. And two, that it would be the group's only record, because directly after Rufus, two band members would move to Chicago.
What we keep, what we bring, what our parents ship.
In today's episode, the guys talk about writing their second album, Player, and how that move to Chicago actually didn't go as planned. Instead, it skyrocketed the band on a trajectory of one sold-out show after another, plus how they took their sound from a garage band recording on a cell phone to an upcoming set at this year's Kilby Block Party.
Hi, we're Boyfriend Sushi Town. I'm Moses Coker. I sing and play guitar.
My name is Harry Hagen. I play drums.
My name is Ethan Gertler. I play the violin.
And Brandon Cocard, who's not here, plays the bass. Our new album is called Player. It came out in November 2023. So I grew up in Mill Creek. I moved to Chicago pretty much for fun. You know, I was just tired of kind of like living in Utah, which now to say, like being back here, like I'm so glad I live here. But, you know, I had to get out to, like, know that, like, I actually do love where I'm from. And there's actually a song on there called Hometown Hero. And that's, like accepting who I am and, like, also just, like, making fun of myself for loving where I'm from. So moved to Chicago with my girlfriend and my Pete, actually, who played bass in the band before. You know, it was super cool. It just, I really missed my family and my friends. And I missed playing music with these guys and just the community that's around Utah. So we decided to move back, and that wasn't congruent with making the album. It's not like I'm moving back for this, but it just so happened like, oh, I have this full, all of these songs. Like, let's make it.
Right before you moved away, the music thing, like you guys had always played together, but you started meeting more people and it started kind of rolling a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, you're gone. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, to me, that's what it seemed like a little bit. Because you met all of us and
that's
then you
true.
Met more musicians and then things
no, absolutely.
Like, it was more like shows and whatever. And
my first taste of understanding like the music scene, you know, like being in it.
Yep.
You know, I feel like the same way for Gertz too.
Yeah,
for sure. And when I was in Chicago, like I'm happy for that because I don't think I would have written the songs that I wrote if I wasn't there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I still had, like, technology, like you said, got to share with you guys all the songs that were, like, there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing, I mean, he doesn't have a laptop, so the whole thing
yeah,
was
no.
created on his iPhone.
No laptop.
And then because we use Logic, he did it in GarageBand and then could send the GarageBand project file, and you can open it in Logic because they're compatible. And then, yeah, so A, it was done remotely, and B, it was done on a cell phone, and then we would open it up and just replace all the layers with, like, real recordings, and mm-hmm. so it was pretty seamless.
Yeah, same exact songs. Yeah. Like, same feeling, just like...
Same project file.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having the skeleton of the demos really helped, because we could use the demos, and Harry could play to the demo. Like, he would listen to that in the backtracking when he's playing the drums to it. And that's just how we kind of recorded that. We just, like, took it out and then put that in, the new one in, and then took the drums out, put the new drums in, took the bass out, put the new bass in. And then violin wasn't there, but I played harmonica, took the harmonica out, put the violin in.
Yeah.
We're like, we've got like the Pixies. I feel like say we sound like Nirvana.
I've heard Modest Mouse thrown in there.
Modest Mouse, but... Also, we have, like, a soft side, like, acoustics that, like...
We'll throw country out there sometimes.
Yeah, we got country. We hit all the marks. We love American music. We're American music. Oh, my God. We're a patriotic band. Don't
chill. Speak for yourself.
I'd say we're indie rock, you know.
Yeah, indie rock coins it pretty well, I feel like. Like, 2000s-y.
With like, a dash of emo.
I guess.
I made a comment last night that said, people who argue over music genres are losers.
I like a lot of different types of music, so I don't like to, like, pinhole myself into one sort and song to write. I'm open to doing anything. Like, I would do a techno song, which, you know, we have one in our demos. And also, I feel like I want to challenge Ethan when he's writing his lead parts. I want to challenge him to, like, try to find the right sound for the song that's there, too.
Yeah, it's fun mixing it up, for sure.
I still think the songs have, like, a similar vibe and aesthetic, you know, because of the songwriting. My voice comes through and it's like, oh, you can tell this is a Boyfriend Sushi Town song, you know. And I think Ethan helps a lot with that, you know, just, like, how distinct his sound is as, like, a lead violinist. I love Randy Newman and Neil Young and Lou Reed. And I really like, so I like to write from, like, a character perspective. And all of those artists do that. They write from, like, character perspectives. And
what does that mean?
Like, it's not like my point of view. Not even third. It's like the character is telling the story. But yeah, that's kind of like my style, I guess, of like writing. But for the music itself, it's just what I think sounds cool.
My whole family plays violin, like extended family, everyone. Everyone plays kind of a classically trained instrument. There's piano, we got cello, there's a bunch of stuff in my extended family. So started when I was like 7, took a lot of lessons and always liked it, but didn't want to practice at all, like most people. So
you got fired.
Yeah, I actually did get a teacher called and orchestra? Quit me. No, she knew I didn't want to practice. My teacher when I was like 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, called me up on the phone. Told me, hey, we're done.
You got like, broken up with by your violin teacher.
Yeah, the end of this relationship.
We're so done. You're not putting in any effort.
I love my violin teacher. She's awesome. It's tough it was love. Like a pretty yeah. She was like, you don't like doing this. I don't want to teach you. And I was like, yeah, you're kind of right. We kind of started out just violin, and then when we made Rufus, I think that was the first song where it was like, okay, like we can add some different sound to this and make it sound like a guitar, I guess. You know, in a way. It's different still, but, like, yeah, trying to just, like, be, like, a lead guitarist. So we use that Big Muff pedal, just a fuzz pedal. Yeah, super fun using that. And then the amp that I used to use was, like, a modeling amp, so it just had effects built into it. And I could just, like, open my phone and just put a bunch of pedals on my phone. And it was, like, a pedal board on my phone. It was pretty fun, but... Just, like, put a bunch of pedals on there and was, like, going back and forth. This was, like, not too long ago, honestly. It was the show we had at Urban, our first show back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going back and forth to my phone, had it on my amp, like, turning pedals on, turning pedals off for each set, for each song. And, yeah, I was like, oh, I should, like, step into this and, like, get some more pedals. So I actually just copied all the pedals I had on that modeling amp and then put them on a pedal board.
You should tell them the story about when your parents were like, the sound of the violin in this one is a little crazy.
Oh, yeah. My parents came to one of our first shows when we all got this band, when Moses came back. I remember my dad made a comment on Rufus, and he was like, this song, he plays violin too, so it's pretty exciting for them to come and like listen to it, and I love hearing his opinions about it. But he was like, yeah, it just... felt off the whole time. It was so weird. Like, it just made me feel so uncomfortable, like, the whole time. And it's kind of like could be seen as a negative thing, like a negative comment, but it made me so excited to hear him say some, like,
that shit's weird as fuck.
Yeah, just like that it was weird. I don't know. I like it when something sounds like weird and different like that and kind of makes you feel uncomfortable. So, yeah.
I was going through just like a new experiences, like every day, like new perspectives, taking public transit to work, you know, being in a big city just made me want to like think about these people who lived in the city and try to tell their story as best as I could. I'm sure they could tell their story better, but I would try to put myself in their shoes and see if I were in their shoes, how would I think about, how would I talk about this story? And then I was also at the same time going through those new experiences myself, and I would try to write as honestly as I could about how I was feeling during that time as well. I feel like the human experience is very shared, and if you put yourself in those shoes, then you can, like, I'm not writing these about like people, you know, like they're invented in my head, and it's just like how I would be if I was that. It's funny that we're playing Kilby Block Party, but I knew them tracks was fire when I made them on my iPhone. I listened to that shit with the drum machine. I was like, this is fucking fire. We're going to play this on the big stage one day.
I knew them tracks were fire.
No, I wasn't serious. I liked the music. So to me, that's what matters most. As long as like I think it's cool, then like that's all that matters. But it's cool that other people are like receiving it and like enjoying it. It's really cool. But I'm making it because like I like making art. I like writing songs. It's just what I like to do. It's crazy to be being interviewed. It's just funny to be here at the Slug headquarters talking about the music from where we started. I didn't even own like a guitar amp, you know, 3 years ago. Like when I found out...
Got a $2 pickup off of Amazon.
Straight up.
Use that for months.
Yeah, straight up.
Literally $2.
It was $2?
Yeah, the first violin pickup I bought. It's like a surface mount pickup. So bad. But it was like...
Look at his pedal board now, baby. Ski Mask is about, I always say like on stage, it's about being uncomfortable in your own skin. Because when I was in Chicago, I was friends with like a lot of painters, you know, kind of like the high art crowd, which is like cool. I love them to death. But when I would go to like art shows... I'm very boisterous, if you can't tell, and loud, and I'm myself, and a lot of the people there would be very, like, they try to cool guy you, you know, about being, like, a nice person. And so it would make me feel very, like, self-conscious about, like, who I am. I didn't like Ski Mask at first.
Really?
No, because I didn't like the demo. Like, when I did the demo, I didn't think it came out well, so I couldn't, like, hear it, but then, yeah.
But it was fun. It was, like, didn't really have any idea. It was the first song we recorded on the album, too, and it was... I don't know, it's fun, like, just messing around with that, and then started to make this kind of eerie violin picking part in the middle, and it was just, yeah, it felt really cool. Mm-hmm. Probably my favorite one to start recording. Just for how eerie it is. I don't know, I liked making this feeling of being all creepy with the violin, and then when the hard part comes through, it was just like, I like that it just sounds like a mess, kind of, in a way. Like, it's just a wall of, like, this creepy... scary noise, and I thought that was really fun to do.
The lyrics I took, so like the last line, it pops in my head because it's like a giant worthless bug, and at the time I was reading Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka. I love the image of, like, you know, him being a monster, him like waking up and not realizing what he is, but everyone around him is reacting, they're like in shock, and it's like he's just kind of like not aware of himself as a monster. And I took a lot from that, like when writing the lyrics. And then it's called Ski Mask because like some of the lyrics are in there. It's like walking into a convenience store while wearing a ski mask, quit looking at me with a funny look on your face. And it's like, that's how I kind of feel when I can tell someone is like not catching a vibe with me. It feels like I'm like fucking walking into a convenience store while wearing a ski mask. Oh,
You're about to hear Ski Mask from our album Player in its entirety.
We'll be playing at Kilby Block Party this year on Saturday, and we're playing another festival in October in Las Vegas called Best Friends Forever. You can find us on Spotify or on Instagram at Boyfriend Sushi. We love you.
Oh my god.
That was great.
That was wild. That was like an I love lamp scenario. You could have just been like, I love lamp.
We love you.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Mary Culbertson, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. It was also co-produced by McKenna Malin, who's a senior staff writer at Slug Magazine. You can read her article on Boyfriend Sushi Town from 2022 at our website, slugmag.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM, stream at krcl.org, or download the app on the App Store.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.